So, picking up from last week, this is so important because I'm realizing as I'm walking through this message and through this process that our whole walk, God is showing me, is reflection. And I have not really thought of it that way until I first got this message to even consider reflection. So, just to recap a little bit of last week, if you don't remember, I talked about how reflection could be bad, it could be good. You could get trapped in the past and you can be saying, well, today is not as good as yesterday. Bring back the good old days, and then you throw yourself back in the past. Or you can use, it as a place to murmur, complain, and sometimes if you get caught between the past and your present, you can miss your destiny because you get caught up in way things are today or the way you believe things used to be back then. And I'm sure back then you thought things weren't as good as they should be. It's just that now and forward, looking back, you can have a fond memory, side journey. Like, how many times people break up with somebody. And then they start trying to remember how great the relationship was. And it's like, really? Was it really that good? Then why'd you break up? Okay, I guess it wasn't as good as you thought it was. All right. You thought it was great, but obviously it wasn't because look at where it ended. So it's these kind of things that we do with our mind, fondly trying to recapture something. And then you can fantasize about the past a little bit. You can add elements to it that didn't exist because it's no longer there. And we talked about the disciples when they saw Jesus transfigured with the men of old. They said, let's stay here because the past can look as good as you want it to look. The present can look as glum as you want it to look, but it always looks safer than what you don't know. Because what you don't know, deep, you don't know, right? You don't know what you don't know. And I was thinking about, but then the good thing about reflection is it helps you know if you pay attention how far you've come. It helps you know where you called to be in proximity to where you are. So I use this as a very simple example, but hopefully the illustration will help. You ever been in a huge mall? And you're trying to figure out where this store is amongst all the stores that may exist. And you go over and you look for that. Either you can go to the guy at the front desk, if they have one there, and say, where is this? And he points you. Or you go over to the big map. And the big map says, the store is here. That's not helpful. Until you look for what? It's one thing you look for first. Or maybe you look for it second. Who knows? What is that? You could put it in the chat if you want. But what is that thing you look for? Like you looked and you found where the store is. Big giant map. Not very helpful. Where am I? That, yep. But on the map, it usually says what? Not where am I. See who gets that? Who gets the prize? Who gets the prize? You are here. Thank you, Celine. It says, you are here. This is where you want to go, but that means nothing to you. Even if you use your nav says, can I use your present location? Because it can't map out a direction for you without identifying where you are. So where you are in reflection is not bad if you're using it for the proximity to know where you're going. This is important. What I'm saying is important. It may sound common sense, but it's really, really deep. In the realm of the spirit, people try to step out into the deeper things of the spirit and they don't understand why it's not working. And they don't know why God is not moving for them. And they don't know why the prayers are not being answered like they think they should. Or they keep jumping into things that they think are the answers and it keeps bottoming out or going wrong and pursuing the thing and it just falls apart. And I always have to stop and say, okay, God, where am I? Because maybe I'm going into this thing with the understanding that I know more than I know, or I understand more than I understand, or I have received the anointing on a level that I have not yet. I know you've called me to this level of accomplishment or this level of forward motion, but do I have the tools? Do I have the stamina? Do I have the focus to go to the level that you've called me to? These things are huge. Listen to me close. If you're going to go forward into the things of God, understanding where you are and being honest about it. Understanding what you have accomplished and being honest about it. Well, I really thought I had that, and I really thought I was that. Well, I really thought it's nice, but it's really, it's like in the mall. I thought I was here. Well, you're not. You just looked at the sign. It told you, you like 50 stores away from the store you're looking for, not right around the corner from it. It's a big difference to understand where you are in your walk at the time. Sherry has an example. I'm going to use Sherry. Long time ago, Sherry, in this story, and I bring up the story, you know, from time to time because it's a powerful story. It definitely shaped my life, and I know it shaped yours when you had to have the heart surgery. And everybody was trying to tell you, you're supposed to just have faith. You're supposed to believe. Why don't you just stand? We believe it for you. We rebuke surgery and all this kind of stuff. And I'm sure you know the conversation. You know where it's going. You called me up this day, and I can hear the hurt in your voice. I can hear the fear. I can hear the guilt. I can hear all the stuff that people had put on you. And you said, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I said, what do you believe for? What was I doing? I was saying, where are you? Forget where everybody tells you you should be and where you think you need to be. Where are you? What do you believe? Because these people, if you remember my words, these people about to get you killed. These people about to get you killed because they're trying to push you into their faith and it's not yours. What's your faith? And if I, you correct me if I'm wrong, you said, I believe that I can have the surgery and heal so fast that the doctors would be amazed. Am I correct? Correct. And I said, then that's where we need to be. That's where we need to go. Because you know where you are, then let's believe God to meet you there, not to meet you where somebody else is. That's a word right there. That it's not, you can't stand in my faith. It's not according to his faith. It's not according to my faith. It's according to your faith. Be it unto you. This is where the power of God is released. And the shame, listen to me, that is put on us reflecting on past or future, the shame of feeling that you're not where you should be is something that the enemy uses against you regularly. So, reflection. The Father had this conversation with me this morning. And I was like, well, God, I'm doing these things. I'm having to go through these court battles with this family member, and I'm having to do this thing, and this is crazy. And we should all get along, and we should all be friends, and it shouldn't be like that. It's family. And the Holy Spirit said to me, who said so? What wasn't this morning? It was yesterday, but he brought it all the way home this morning. He said, who said so? Well, it's supposed to be, he said, who said so? He said, that's a man-made construct. Jesus clearly said, who are, when he said your mother and brothers outside, who are my mother and brother? Those who hear the word of my Father, he was able to say, no, there's a separation here. And the separation here is, if I'm called to do this and they going there or pushing me to go that way, then at that point, the severing of there needs to be some kind of commitment and relationship to somebody who is just connected to me biologically is wrong. I'm supposed to follow God. I'm supposed to do what God has told me to do and confirm out of the mouth sometime of two or three or four or five or six witnesses that this is what I need to do. Now, this is important. This is important. If constructs of man and reflections of self is governing your ability to go forward, but you don't believe those things exist, listen close, then your you are here is misplaced. Your place of origin is wrong, and you can't navigate forward with false information on where you are. Is this helpful? So I'm now saying, Lord, listen to me close. That scripture showed the house to the house just took on a new meaning. Did you hear what I just said? I've used it. I've heard it used to say, God, show me my shortcomings and show me my sins and show me my wrong. But now I'm saying, God, show the house, show me where I really am. Show me what I really believe. Show me where my faith levels really sit. Show me what it is that I need to see so that I can seek you for what I need. I can't seek you for what I need if I don't know where I am. There are some of us here who are strong in believing God to take care of their health, but weak in the area of believing God for taking care of your needs. Are you listening to me? So then they wonder why their needs are not met, but they always get healed. Well, have you stopped and acknowledged that maybe you are believing that because you can believe God for healing, that everything else is included in that belief? Who is this helping right now? So I have to stop. And if you remember me from years ago, I used to say, I like to pull in every 3 months and pull into the station and say, God, how am I doing? Where am I? Do I need an oil change? Spark plugs? What do I need here? Because for me to go to the next level, I don't feel like I have the tools that I need to go where you're calling me to go. I didn't want to stay on this long. I wanted to jump back into the scripture, but just indulge me. Is that okay? So, I remember when I first moved on, or moved out, I didn't move on, but I moved out. And then I even moved out to Florida. But the whole time I was here, the hurt, the pain, the feelings of betrayal, the animosity, the all of that stuff still had a very, very, very strong, strong grip on my life. I was aware of it, but I didn't know what to do with it. It was oozing out like years and years and years of a fountain of pain just pouring out. And I was just letting it rip to anybody who'd hear. Just frustrated. At one point, I think it was about a year or so ago, God said, listen, I've showed you all these great things I have for you, and I've opened up doors. But you can't go through those doors until you forgive. You got to let the yesterday go. It has too much power. But the yesterday is still happening. He said, it only bothers you because it's tied to your history. And if you don't let it go, it's not like he said, I'm not saying I won't bless you. He's saying that it's keeping you from being blessed. You have to be able to let go and go forward. Now, I'm telling on myself, but I'm telling on you too. I knew that was true. But like Pharaoh, the one more night with the frogs thing was a very hard thing to walk away from. This frustration was justified to me. This anger was justified to me. You understand what I'm saying? These emotions were justified to me. You know, and it don't have to be what I went through. It can be, you know, feeling abandoned, feeling confused, feeling, look, I don't understand what God is doing. Whatever those things are that you've been carrying around on your back for the longest time, that thing became a hindrance to me. Not God wouldn't bless me because of it. I want you to be very careful to what I'm saying. But I could not even walk into the blessings. And even if I did, I would walk into the miserable because misery was my best friend. See, I don't mind talking about myself. I tell the truth. That's why I get answers. So I had to say, God, I need to be free. And that's when he gave me Urba. I have no unforgiveness, no resentment, no bitterness, no animosity toward everybody. And I would say it, and I was lying, but I was saying it because I was speaking the truth in the spirit. But I was feeling every one of those things inside of myself. But I spoke the life into the air. I have no unforgiveness. I have no resentment. I have no bitterness. I have no animosity toward anyone. And I began to speak it as a mantra. And I began to say it. And the word became flesh and dwelt among me and dwelt within me and became life within me. And I began to really sense and feel. And then the enemy came on strong and people began to, like, you know, so-called loved ones begin to fire at will. Just the devil just said, unleash on him, just fire at, from every angle. And now, and I'm still standing there. I don't know, I'm forgetting it. I heard no resentment. You know, I had to stand there and stand on this word. And what changed? Watch me close. Not what's around me, but what's in me. Because it doesn't make a difference what people do or what the devil does if you're good in hope. So the expectation made me look past the present to the promise. So you got past, present, and promise. That was the word right there. You got past, present, and promise. And if you get caught in past and present, you miss promise. So now let me go back to the scripture. Let's keep this in mind again. We serve a God of promise. We serve a God of promise, great and precious promises. Amen? Are you serving the God of past or the God of present? Or are you serving the God of promise? And this is where I wanted to end the message, so I wanted to make sure I ended that here this day, this week. Are you serving the God of past? Are you serving the God of present? Are you serving the God of promise? And what did that mean? Because people who talk about God can talk about what God did for them. I remember back in 1975 and God healed my cancer. And like, okay, and what did he do in 85? 95? 2005? 2015? You got nothing. You serving the God of yesterday. Now, scripture says, forgetting those things which are behind, you press forward. It didn't say you stand present. He said you press forward. So forgetting what's behind, also what's present, you press forward. Know where you are for the purpose of knowing where you're supposed to go. Who am I speaking to? Know where you are so you know where you're supposed to go. Now, these people writing these books of old, and especially in the Old Testament, not so much in the New Testament. I don't know if you noticed this, but the New Testament is not a book of prophecy. The New Testament is a storybook. It's a story about the life and time of Jesus. And even when you get to the epistles, it's not a lot of talk about the prophecy. Except for when you get to the book of Revelation, there's not a lot of prophecy spoken because it's now telling you about the, all the stuff that happened in the, that they prophesied and spoke of in the Old Testament. It was a promise that brought you to the New Testament, that brought people to a place. And then these people begin to tell the story of what they experienced. But the promise is in their stories. So when we want to hear the prophecies, we go to the books of old, and the books of old promise people something that they have to write about based on faith because they are not experiencing it. They're not writing it after walking around with Jesus. They're not writing it after the promised king has come and manifest his promises and he's floated up into the heavens and they saw him come back from the dead and walk around. And, you know, none of this had happened for them yet. This promised Messiah was not even in the game. So when the disciples write the books, they're writing the books from their experiences. Even Paul's books, even though he didn't walk with Jesus, he had an experience with Jesus, even after Jesus has resurrected, but still the stories were there and alive. He already knew that what was supposed to come had come. So I'm making this point for a reason. Where are you? Where are you standing in your reflections? Where you come from? Where are you? But do you know what the promise is that you're standing on it? Because these people had to stand on a promise that had not yet been manifested. And my question to you is, can you do it? My question to you is, can you stand on the promise? Listen to me, not your present, not your circumstance. Oh, I need more money, or I need a husband, or I need a job, or I need a wife. Or, okay, yeah, that's all right. I need a car. I need, you know. Okay. What's the promise? I want to get on the word already, but I want to make sure you understand something. I want you to listen to me real close. The thing or things that you're believing for right now is not the promise. And I've been wrong there, and a lot of the church is wrong there, and you guys are wrong there. That's not the promise. Those are the things that come as you pursue the promise. The promise is not your needs being met. The promise is not your body being healed. That's part of the promise as you seek the purpose. The purpose and the destiny fulfill the problem. I promise. No, I don't know if I believe that, because I know that's the problem. Okay. It is. Okay. So what's this? Okay. Don't worry what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, how you're going to be fed, and how you're going to be healed, and how you're going to get this and buy that. The birds of the air don't do that. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the promise. Seek ye first what he's called you to, and all these things will be added. So everything that I've been believing God for is a byproduct of me seeking my purpose. I can wrap the message up right here. We put the cart before the horse. That's an old people saying, if you don't know what that means. That means you got the horse pushing the cart instead of in front of the cart pulling it. It doesn't work well that way. It never works well that way. The horse is supposed to go in front of the cart. You got it? For the youngins that said, I've heard that saying. I don't know what it means. That's what it means. You put the cart behind the horse. The cart in front of the horse. The horse is going to push the cart off the road somewhere. You'll be in the ditch. You got to have the horse in the front. Okay, I digress. Here's the point. We stop seeking the thing and we seek the purpose and the kingdom principle, and the things will be added automatically. How many of you on here, honestly speaking, can say to me, I can think back in my mind and spirit, and God bring it to them if they don't see it. You can say, I can think in my mind and spirit of a thing that I chased, and it looked like it took forever. And then when I released it and let it go and got myself in line with what God called me to, that thing manifested in my life. Who other than me remembers that? Like when I stopped messing with it, that's when it showed up for me. Not you, Nelly, you didn't have that experience? You know you, Kwame? Never? Maybe? Okay, well, we're going to have a conversation, because we might be finding the answer to some of the questions you've been asking, right? It's like, I've learned that when I said, okay, God, I can't do this, I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to forget all about it, and I'm going to go just do focus on what you call me to, and then I saw the manifestation. Okay, so now, I'm promising you that on the path to his purpose, all these things will be added. So it's not about the things, it's about the purpose. And the danger in seeking the purpose, and then the enemy starts presenting things, those things distract you from purpose, You get off the road to purpose. You go running after the things. Sometimes it takes us months. Sometimes it takes us years. Sometimes it takes us decades that we missed out. I know I'm one of them on what God is doing because I'm running after a thing. And I'm missing the purpose. Who bears witness to what I'm talking about today? How many great things that you know God has called you to, and so you put your heart and soul into chasing those things, and look like those things just keep running and running and running and moving and moving and moving and getting smaller and smaller. So my refocus to you today as children of God is, you've been hearing me say it for the past couple of months, what is my purpose? God, what is my purpose? Why am I here? What's the point? What's the point? When I look at this world, and this election cycle is, this really, really opened my eyes to it. The level of evil. And the Bible said in the end, the church, even the church, will be calling evil good. So they'll call their candidate good because they want them to be in office no matter how much evil they do. And I'm speaking on both sides. I'm not taking either side. You know, neither one can be trusted if you really want to be honest about it. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying, God, so basically it's about who's the least of the evils. And God is like, well, let's focus on purpose. Why are you here? What are you here to do? I would ask each one of you individually to stop and take a moment and ask the Lord, I know what I do. I might even know who I am. I know what I desire, but do I know why I'm here? Do I know what my purpose is? Take a moment and just say, Lord, what is my purpose? Why am I here? Why am I on this planet? Is there a role I play? And what is that role? Father, help us open our blind eye to see your purpose. Psalms 45 was where we were. And I want to go back there, but I want to go back there from the King James. Because when we were doing the Amplified last week, it was a verse that jumped out to me. And I said, I need to look at it. And I needed to look at the original language of it. So I was looking at a verse, I guess I started at 7. And we started from verse 1 last week, but I just wanted to jump to verse 7. And this is still in Psalm 45. I'll give you a second to get there. And we went over most of this last week, but this is important. He's talking to let me go to 6. He says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. It's forever and ever. The scepter of your righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness, virtue, morality, and justice, and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you. And I want you to really pay attention to this line. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you. Both capital G's. People that try to argue that God wasn't talking to God, God's talking to God. He's talking. This is the Messiah, the King who would come, and his scepter, and all this stuff is showing the coming of our Savior. But I won't drag on it. We'll go back to it. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you. Who's never seen that before? It's right there. Above your companions with the oil of jubilation. So therefore, God, your God has anointed you above your companions with the oil of jubilation. Now, again, we're going to talk about this. This is a promise. This is a promise of God to us, and at the time to them, a not yet manifested promise. But it's a promise. So I mean, Jesus came with a full understanding of what he was supposed to do. He came with an understanding that he would live. He came with an understanding that he would be a sacrifice. He would understand that he would give up his life for the lost, for us. He came with that understanding. Are we clear on that? He never lost focus on his purpose. Are you clear on that? So when Peter said, "You will not die," he said, "Get behind me, Satan. Because you're trying to get me caught up here." Peter and them was always trying to make Jesus live in the now. Let's build three tabernacles, and let's be three altars, and let's stay right here. Like everything they did was trying to preserve the lifestyle and the life that they had. But Jesus's focus was always on the destiny and what he was called here to do. Are you listening to me today? Because I'm telling you some true stuff right here. And I want to be in that place in this season of my life. Okay, what? So what? I live in Florida. I got this, I got that. What am I here for? What do you call me to do? What is the destination? What is the purpose? I will be beating this over your head for until God, probably until Jesus comes to take me home. Because this is the season that God has me in, and I want to make sure I drive that home. Just like I taught you WIPA, and I taught you WIOC or whatever the other one, and I taught you all these acronyms that you're beginning to stand on and find some safety in it. Now I'm showing you how to use those things to their fullest capacity. And their fullest capacity is this: wisdom, insight, understanding, knowledge of God, peace, prosperity, patience, and abundance is for a purpose. And it's not for you to get a new car and a new house. It's for you to use those things to step into the greatness God has called you to. And then all these things will be added as you seek ye first what he's put you here for. So now, based on that, based on this verse, therefore, God, your God, has anointed you above your companions with the oil of jubilation. Now, I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 8, because this is powerful. I mean, Hebrews chapter 1, sorry. In verse 8, he brings it up. He brings it up again. This is crazy. Watch this. He said, "But unto the Son thou hast said, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom." So now, Nick, clarify it if you think I'm making stuff up. Did you see it? He said, God said to God, and here he says, God said to the Son. And then he quotes the same exact verse. Who's catching this? This is powerful. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Isn't that what we just read? But he's saying it now. The Father said to the Son. This is a powerful reflection for me, because I'm going, nothing that we're experiencing is by accident. You have this laid out. Wait, let me put my Bible down for a second. Lord, I pray that this word penetrates into the spirit of these people and makes a real difference that they never forget. God so detailed, so outlined the purpose, the flow, and the manifestation of what Jesus was and is to come in the Old Testament, that Jesus shows up and becomes the living, walking, breathing realization of what was promised. Are you with me? Are you having a different kind, hopefully, respect for who your Savior is and what he came for? He didn't come and show up then on the shores of Galilee, and he just came to save you. And even if you watch the little Jesus story on the Chosen, it's beautiful, but it doesn't capture the fact that there was a promise in detail, painful detail, hundreds of, maybe thousands of years before he came. You hear what I'm saying? There was a promise of this Messiah to the people of God, and he came and he fulfilled it to the letter. Reflection. Now, if that God that you say you serve was that meticulous about his life, how meticulous is he about yours? How clear is he from the book of old and before you were yet in your mother's womb and he knew you, the scripture said? How meticulously is he playing out your life if you line up? We get caught up in the most mundane stuff. And I'm saying we, I'm talking about myself too. We get caught up in the day-to-day this and the day-to-day that and what I need to do about this and how I need to handle that and how I need to take care of this and what am I going to do about that and oh my God. And he's like saying, listen, before you were in your mother's womb, I wrote the book. I have the plan. I laid out the path and I need you to walk in it. I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. But you are so caught up in what you believe you need to do that you're not doing what I need you to do. I need you to put my purpose first, find out why I put you on this planet and who I called you to on this planet. And as you walk that path, all these things will be added unto you. When I prayed a week or so ago, God, I can deal with the situation. Take the pain away. The reality came to me. You're listening to me? He said to me, who told you? And God will ask you questions knowing the answer. Who conditioned you to believe that your journey to me had to be wrought with pain? Who told you that? That you're supposed to tough it out like a big man or a big woman and just take it and just put, you know, just put on your big man drawers, your big girl drawers and just handle it and just, I'll just suck it in and just in time and by. God said, who told you that? Did I not say cast your cares upon me and not because I care for you? Did I not tell you that? Roll the weight of your burden over on me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Did I tell you that you had to endure pain? Well, the Bible just said, weeping may endure for a moment. The word is moment. You feel it, but then you can release it. He said, I never told you to be a beast of burden. I never told you that you were on your own in dealing with the situations that life throws at you, be it loneliness, be it lack, be it weakness of mind, be it weakness of heart, be it whatever, hurt, pain, whatever, disillusion, doesn't matter. He said, I never told you to carry that out. There's nowhere in the scripture where I told you you on your own, figure it out. So I sat back and I thought about it, and there was a reality that came to me. The grass of the field, Solomon is not even arrayed like the grass. Behold the birds of the air. You meticulously planted the trees in the ground that with all of man's greatest creations, from buildings to skyscrapers, if they don't spend their life keeping that foliage from coming back, it will come back and knock all those buildings down and return back to a garden. Man's greatest creations, The most majestic bridges could be knocked down by a wave, a wall of water, and boom, down it goes. What's your plan, Lord? As I reflect on the greatness and your greatness of your past, let me not be mindless to bring it to the present so that I can go into this future that you've called me to. Let me not get caught in what was done only to bring it to where I am, to promote me to where I'm going. Let me not be so caught up in the things that seem to be facing me that I forgot that you planned my life when I was in my mother's womb. And you know how to help me dodge around these obstacles. You know how. You knew them. You saw them before they came. And Lord, if I could be more sensitive to you, I won't even walk into the obstacles because you will guide me around them. You have the power to project your future based on the promises of his past. Taking where you are today, taking what you've seen him do yesterday, and projecting it into your tomorrow. We are responsible for that. That's ours. That's our job to do. It's ours. God loves you. God wants for you to have better than what you're even believing for at this moment. And I don't know what better means to you, whether it be emotionally, spiritually, physically, financially, that socially, that's between you and God. But I know he wants you to have what he's promised you. And I know that it all comes. As I reflect on what he's done, that I may take it to my present and project it toward the future destiny and promise that he's given me. Past, present, promise. May the word that you heard bring God's blessing to you.